Welcome to another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. So today, this week, I'm in the typical writer's quandary. What to write about, in this case, what to talk about. I have an interview on tap with a English professor. 30-something years, the changes going on, and a neighbor gave me a caterpillar in a plastic container with the little air holes on the top. And it munched on parsley for about a week. And then it reared back like a Japanese movie monster, and then it attached to the stick, and now it's in the chrysalis phase. Truly amazing. And I want to just talk about that, but I want to have the whole experience till it's a butterfly, and that, I want to do it when it's actually turning, after I release it to the wild as a butterfly. So I'm left to present ideas and questions that maybe sound outlandish, but hey, that's how I spin things, and maybe it sticks, maybe it doesn't. So I'm just going to present it in the don't yet know if it's stickable or unstickable, and whether I can stick it to the man, as they say. So here's my first idea. Okay, I love music, and the concerts I've been to are fabulous. And I know, you know, that's how musicians earn their keep and yada yada. But okay, so I noticed this thing lately, and it has me pondering. It's like, it sometimes seems like people go to concerts, you know, obviously to have a good time, to enjoy, to get a good vibe, but it almost seems like they're like emotionally venting. And I wonder how much people are doing this and paying good money to do it. Sometimes I want to go to a concert and it's, you know, 50, maybe $100, you know, plus all the travel and the parking and blah, blah, blah. To me, it's not always worth it unless it's somebody I truly, truly want to see. So that's all relative. But my point here is that people are doing that, and then it's almost like an emotional venting. It just seems like sometimes that there's more going on. Like, why aren't people gathering in other different ways? Maybe they are on a small scale, and you know, we don't really know about it, and that's okay. Doing things like ceremonial things and prayers for the earth and the land, which I do. I go around and I do prayers for the water at different places. Again, this is not at all conclusive. I'm just kind of thinking out loud and rambling because the thoughts that come to mind often lead to something, or it shows me something else, or another way to handle things. So in that sense, it's worth doing. So I see that there's sort of this emotional outlet from going to a concert, yet what comes of it? And why aren't people putting more of that emotional energy towards something that they're involved in, or something constructive or productive? Maybe they do that as well as going to the concert, but just trying to get that point across. Now, on a bigger scale, there's, you know, huge entertainment venues and sports. I mean, people go nuts. The Super Bowl is like the biggest, I think at Trader Joe's a bunch of years ago, they told me the biggest food sales day is not Thanksgiving, not Christmas, it's the Super Bowl. So people go nuts, you know, and again, I can say, okay, I understand, they vent. I used to follow golf, and I like, it's just something to like, I don't have to think too much about stuff, what's going on in the world. I just want my venue, my outlet, to have some fun and let off some steam, enjoy, clear my mind. So I'd watch golf. Now it's become just too business oriented, and it's about the money. So I'm skipping it, except for maybe once in a while. But so you have these events, these sports events, particularly where people just they eat it up and they get possessive about it. Somebody I know is like, hey, I gotta watch my Mets. It's like a form of you know, familialness to it. It becomes like my team, and I get it. I would watch, you know, certain golfers, like, that's my man. And in the activist sense, what about how often do you hear people say, like, oh, I gotta go watch my tree. I gotta go watch my forest. I gotta go watch my river. I gotta go watch my meadow. I gotta go watch my night sky. I gotta go root for my caterpillars. Hey, come on over. Bring some food. We're gonna watch the trees and learn from them, talk with them. I just find it very interesting, though, that organizedness and the business, because sports is huge business, that is just a super accepted and just not much thought about venues for people to do, things to go to, spend their money. But on a deeper level, I'm looking at the emotional sort of emotional expression or emotional venting or whatever you call it that is part of the experience of those events. So that's what I'm left wondering is, in a kind of alchemical way, all that energy and emotion that people are putting there, what if they put it also or somewhere else, or transferred it to somewhere else, or transformed that energy into, say, an activist fashion, like I said, a ceremonial, prayerful, whatever fashion. So it's like, what if that happened? What would happen? And recently, with the news of the droughts, I mean, China, it's like, I read a lot of articles about how China is boom time economy and they're changing the world. But then on the flip side, the universe, nature are saying, wait a second, there's huge droughts going on, and they already have smog and the air pollution. So what is actually going on there? But the thing I was thinking about the droughts is that, because the rain and the water, in a very real way, is not only symbolic, but is a genuinely a reflection of emotions and feelings. So my sense, my semi-educated sense with this meteorological, metaphysical example here is that across the globe, there is some kind of, around the world, around the Mother Earth, there is an atmospheric level and an emotional level, there is some kind of lack of, or unexpressed, or out of touch with emotions. Now, that could be grief, that could be grieving, that could be just telling somebody how you feel, sharing your feelings about whatever, being ecstatic about the... Do you ever catch yourself during the day and just almost like slap yourself in the face? Like, this is actually life. This is actually living. And like, the sun is so bright. And it is amazing how I'm watching something, some flowers open in the morning and close at night. Like, this is actually living. What's going on? And it just can get easily pumped up that way. But so there's some kind of emotional something that's off. That's my sense, is that emotions and feelings and something has been so trampled and squelched and suppressed that as humanity and all the other beings are dealing with this imbalance of droughts and floods. So maybe there's other reasons. There's probably other reasons to that and for that. There's my roundabout way that I in thinking out loud. So I thank you for listening to me thinking out loud. So sometimes thinking out loud and talking out loud is a big deal. We can get stuck in our heads, and it really helps to voice things, which is part of why I enjoy doing these little podcasts, is that I think at some level the emotional expression and venting and joy that people find by going to, say, a concert or to an entertainment event or to a sporting event is in some subtle way connected to the weather patterns that are going on as far as in the atmospheric and the rain and all that. I had a dream many years ago about something that I barely understood. It was something about the atmosphere and that the moisture was very important. So maybe now I am fulfilling some action about the dream I had on some level to say, consider people that your emotions and your feelings are not separate from the weather. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I hope it's a nice day. Can't do anything about it. Well, you can. You actually can. We do actually affect the weather because of the emotional states that we have and other reasons. And the weather is biased, too. If you watch the weathermen, you know, they never say, hey, grab your umbrella. It's a beautiful rainy day today. I've never heard a weatherman say that. It's always like, it's a beautiful sunny day, or there's a storm coming in, and it sounds so dramatic and negative. Instead of like, hey, there's a storm coming in, so you'll get some rain, so you can, it helps grow the food, and then you can eat. So it's a beautiful rainy day. We don't get that. So there's definitely a bias and an emotional, a twisted emotional thing going on out there. And even like poetry and writing, it can, you know, you read a good book and it stirs the emotions, and that's good. But if it's just from the book, you know, what about the other emotion, other emotional experience and interrelating with people that is not just, you know, stirring. Like I read about other people and it stirred my emotions. So writing literature as well can be an outlet, you know, in a positive and a negative sense to see how people emote and how they feel. And it can also be a way that we sort of vicariously experience things without experience things ourselves, which is oftentimes what entertainment and sporting events and different venues are. They are, in a sense, a vicarious thrill. So that would be my kind of Zen koan to wrap up this rambling talk, is to, you know, ask oneself where are one's genuine experiences and what are the vicarious experiences that are holding one back from the genuine experiences. So I'll leave it with that question. Thank you so much for listening, and be well.